Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. As school is letting out and the summer's heating up, many families are thinking about adding a new member, a dog. While the thought of a new puppy or a rescue dog seems exciting and fun, sometimes people don't think through all of the details before getting a dog and then wind up deciding that the dog isn't for them. Before you get a dog, you need to consider the breed and energy level. And after you get the dog, get them some training. This morning, I'm happy to help with the training part by introducing Megan Blake, the pet lifestyle coach and certified dog trainer, who's joining me this morning to talk about training your dog and the free lessons going on every week in downtown Greensboro. Good morning, Megan.
Hey, Charlie. Thank you so much for having me on.
Megan, will you start by giving us just a little of your background and how you got started in dog training?
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, I've always loved animals. I was drawn to them as a little child. And then as an adult, I became an actor in Los Angeles. But even as an actor, I wanted to work with animals. And I happened to be a guest speaker at a Florida film festival. And a production company saw me and asked if I'd be interested in hosting their new television series, Animal Attractions TV, on PBS. So I became their host and writer on the series. And I was giving all these fun pet tips and training techniques that I used, and being a PBS series, of course, they checked every single thing that I wanted to write about and how valid my ideas were, and they thought they all were great. And so in the show credits, I became listed as the pet expert. So I thought this is kind of my path and where my heart lies. So I decided to become officially credited as a dog trainer so I could use this in not only training, but also in speaking in the media. And I've also been head dog trainer for feature films as well. So that's how I got started.
Some people think that, you know, dogs should just know how to behave. But, you know, even humans, we need some training, too. So how important is it to get your dog into some professional classes?
It is so important, Charlie. A trained dog is a happy dog. They're more confident and they're more relaxed. I know people, they know that their people are in charge and they don't have to handle every situation. They know what to expect from people. They know what to do. So even like a chill couch potato dog can benefit from training. Like if they get lost or loose, or if there's an evacuation, if you're having a party with lots of loud guests and there's food out on the coffee table, there are endless reasons why training is so essential.
And training doesn't specifically mean like teaching them tricks or, you know, really harsh train guidelines or whatever. It just means getting them used to the world, right?
Yeah, I call it lifestyle training. Like I said, they know that their person's in charge, so they don't have to bark at every single dog. They don't have to bark at every single noise. They're not like, where do I go? Where do I go? Am I supposed to stand here? Do I sit here? Are we going to move now? They know what to do. They look to their person, and then they're calm. They're relaxed. So training helps them literally become more confident and more relaxed.
And that's why you're offering free dog training in downtown Greensboro. You did do this before the pandemic, and then, of course, everything got canceled. But we're so excited that you're starting classes back up again. Tell us about it.
Yes. The pandemic, boy, that did just cut into everything. But even during the pandemic, I taught our classes over Zoom. But we're all so excited to be back in person, like you just said. And Greensboro Downtown Parks is such a perfect partner and venue. I teach. It's a free group dog class every Sunday at 4:30 in LaBauer Park. It's on the South Lawn, and I am there every single Sunday, rain or shine.
Megan, it's pretty amazing that people can learn how to help their dog behave for absolutely free. So this is part of the park programming?
Yes, yes, it's officially part of the Greensboro Downtown Parks programming, and it's sponsored by Pet Suites of Greensboro. And oh, here's a really cool thing. We are so proud that Group Dog Training with Megan Blake is the park's longest running continuous program since the park's creation.
Great. Well, what do you actually do in class?
Ah, I love this. This is my favorite thing to talk about. First, I help everyone as individuals. So each class is directed to whoever is there right in front of me and to specifically to their needs. But we always cover all the basics. Sit, stay, down, come, heel, and look at me. And we actually do the commands and practice the behaviors. But what we're really doing is showing the people what to do so they can practice with their dog during the week and come back to class the next week and then progress forward. So I address the problem behaviors and answer all the questions too. It's actually really like a kind of a mini seminar.
So Megan, what do you believe is the one most important thing in dog training?
No doubt, communication. Absolutely, the most important thing is clear communication. I had a very unique opportunity while filming Animal Attractions TV to work with wolves. They were rescued wolves in a sanctuary, but a wolf is a wolf. And the main thing that I learned from them is how crystal clear their communication is. And in a wolf pack, that communication is a matter of life and death. So the clearer we are with our dogs, the better they will understand. They want to please us, and they want to fit into our world because that is now their world.
Megan, I'm sure when people find out you're a dog trainer, you get tons and tons of questions. What's the most common question that you get asked?
There is no doubt the most common question is, how do I make my dog listen to me? He won't listen.
I have that question too. So how do you get them to listen?
First, you get their attention. You don't give a command or ask them to do anything until you have their attention. Otherwise, you are literally training them to ignore you. Big point.
Yeah, because you keep talking and they keep ignoring and they're like, okay, this is working for me.
Exactly like the old Charlie Brown cartoons. Do you remember that? And the dog, the teacher would be going like, wah, 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 wah. And all the kids are just sitting there like zoned out. That is exactly what you become to your dog.
So what do you think is the most important command to teach your dog?
Oh, well, they each are super important. And actually, each could be a lifesaver in certain situations. The recall, come, can keep your dog from getting lost, right? If your dog has escaped and is like in the median on a busy street, a down stay will save his life. Just say down, stay, and they'll stay right there. But if I had to name one command, it's look at me. Look at me trains the dog that you're the one he's to look to get his cues as to what to do. I'm going to illustrate this. Once Smiley and I were in a dog park and we were suddenly attacked by a big dog so fast that we were both thrown backwards onto a picnic table. I was on my back being thrown through the air and Smiley was in my face and the big dog was literally ripping at my shirt by my neck, growling and snarling. And Smiley and I needed to become perfectly still and the word is neutral. We needed to become neutral or somebody was going to literally get killed. So I grabbed Smiley's cheeks and quietly said, look at me, look at me, look at me. He stayed perfectly still and looked into my eyes as that big dog growled and ripped my shirt up. So then, once I had Smiley, I was positive. Smiley was locked onto me. I was able to say, get your dog, get your dog, get your dog. We didn't scream. We were super quiet. And the man got his dog. Now, in that critical instant, Smiley had 100% trust in me that I would take care of this whole thing if he just looked to me and did what I said. Again, back to that wolf communication. Clear communication can be a matter of life and death.
I'm talking with Megan Blake, pet lifestyle coach and certified dog trainer, about the free dog training classes at LaBauer Park in downtown Greensboro. Megan, I've heard about different focuses in training, like all positive or be the pack leader. What's your basic focus or premise?
Oh, good question. Yes, it is structure. Everything we do is training our dogs. Every single move we make, our dogs are watching us and they are learning from us and they're learning what to do in that situation. So it's important to set up clear structure that your dogs understand and that works in your lifestyle. And it's really very simple. You just have to see it and set it up.
Do you always have to be structured with your dog from then on?
Oh, yes. But when I say structure, it's not like a rigid structure, like, you're in boot camp or something like that. It's just so your dog knows what to do. Here's a really really fun example, easy example. When you let your dog out in your backyard, if you have a fenced-in backyard, you may just open the door and the dog runs from the front of the house through the back door and out the backyard. Okay, that's very, very normal, but you've just trained your dog to bolt through doors, right? Mm-hmm. So until they learn that they have to wait and look at you for the cue to go outside, you need to have them come to the door and wait, or come to the door, sit, stay, and then free time, and then they run outside. So that's a really clear example of every single thing we do is training our dog. We need to look at the structure from their viewpoint. What are we allowing them to do? What are we training them to do? And when they look in our eyes, again, they gain more confidence because they know what to do.
Do dogs have to be a certain age or have any kind of shots or things like that to come to class?
That's a really good question. Puppies are welcome. I love, love, love puppies in class. And every once in a while, the whole class is puppies. It just works out that way. They begin their training with their mothers and litter mates as soon as they're born. So when they come to their new home and the training, so when they come to their new home with their people, the training needs to continue or they will just make up their own rules. But for group dog class, they do need to have all of their puppy shots, the full series, to ensure their own safety and health.
What about older dogs, though? Can you still train older dogs?
Oh, yes.
Even though they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, can you?
So I was exactly going to say, you absolutely can teach old dogs new tricks. Now, let me interrupt. When you're recording this, right? Let me interrupt one thing.
Yeah.
Kim, should you put Anandita out of the room? They're wiggling around a lot. Is it okay? She's lying down. Okay, I'm sorry, Charlie. Never have done that if I weren't recording.
No problem.
Old dogs, new tricks. Okay, let me start that over. Yes, I was just going to say, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. That is not true. As long as your old dog is healthy, mobile, you know, has most of their senses, you absolutely can teach them look at me and walk beside me, heel, wait, or stay. Absolutely. I welcome all dogs. As long as they're healthy and you can keep them on a leash, they are welcomed.
So who should take advantage of a class like this? I guess the answer is basically anyone with a dog.
Anybody with a dog. And like I just said, all healthy dogs, literally. And think about this, everybody, because some people only think, well, this is just for problem dogs or my dog is fine. But well-trained dogs like therapy dogs come to class and they just get to practice. We get to use them as the demo dogs. And it's so much fun because they get to keep up on all of their training. Puppies get a great structure and a good start. And I love it when newly rescued dogs come. They get clarity and direction as to what is my new life going to be like. I also love it when people bring their foster dogs or when rescues bring in their dogs waiting to be adopted, because they can get a start on training that may actually help them get adopted. Scared dogs can gain confidence. Some people say they don't want to bring their dog because he barks all the time and it's so embarrassing and they're dragging them around. Those dogs are perfect. We just move them off to the side and they learn to calm down. So literally, if you can keep your dog on a leash, you are welcomed and you will benefit.
What about kids? Can they come with their dogs?
Oh, I love working with kids. And it's so important for kids to learn how to properly approach dogs so they know how to do that for safety and for bite prevention. So I love it when kids come. We talk to them about that. And it's also important for kids to be included in training in the family dog so everyone is communicating the same way. Here in my class, I like to say we all learn to speak dog. And kids really, really take to it. And they often are the stars of the class.
When you mentioned speaking the same way, you notice a lot that, you know, people use different commands. Somebody might say, give me five. Somebody else might say, shake. Somebody else might, you know, just for whatever it might be. And so you do need to, everyone in your household, at least get on the same page as to what your commands mean, right?
That's a really, really good point, Charlie. Yes. Yeah, so in class, it doesn't matter to me if somebody says shake or give me five, but everybody in the family needs to be saying the same thing. And once again, that just simply goes back to clear communication.
Do you have a funny story to share about something that's happened in class?
Oh my gosh, I do. And now it's funny. At the time it was like, maybe not funny, but now it's funny. So we're working on sit stay. And when we train, we always train in tiny, tiny little increments. So the dog always does exactly what you ask. You get 100% success when you train in these tiny little increments. So for the stay, we start in a sit. And we say stay and give the hand signal. And we as the humans, we just move one leg out, one leg in, reward, and say free time. So it's like a little rhythm. Sit, stay, leg out, leg in, reward, and free time. So it was a large class, and I was looking one way at everybody practicing this, and all of a sudden this big dog comes charging up to me, knocks me down. I'm rolling around on the floor. My big dog is jumping, playing with the dog. The dog runs off, and I'm literally rolling around on the floor. I say the floor. It's in the grass, and everybody's chasing the dog, chasing the dog. It was crazy, crazy. So it all ended up fine. We caught the dog. I got up. Everybody was fine, and I was like, what happened? And the man hit, I know, what is this? The man had put his dog in a stay and let go of the leash and walked like 20 feet away in this complex situation with like skateboards going by and the ping pong tables. And I was like, what? But anyway, so that happened. But the premise for this is that that created one of the rules in our class. Don't let go of your leash. That's why I said now, if you can keep your dog on a leash, you're welcome to come to class.
Have you had any other special dogs that stand out to you?
Oh, yes, yes. I mentioned that we've had very, very reactive dogs that have to work way far away. But by the end of class, 100% of them have gotten better and have been able to move closer. And one time we had a little dog named Tinkerbell that was so, so shy. She had just been rescued by her owner, and the owner wanted to rehabilitate her rather than just have her in the house and coddle her. So they were standing in their spot at the start of class, and the little dog began to shake. So I had them sit at a table, table and chairs, behind the other dogs, away from the dogs, and they just sat and watched class. And as they sat, soon the little dog relaxed enough to be put on the ground by the person. She sniffed the ground and sat and watched. And they did this. They came to class and did this for several weeks. Then one week, the little dog became more curious and wanted to join in. And we'd only let her participate as long as she wanted to. Then they would just move back and sit in their safe space. And soon the little dog was doing everything. She'd gained so much confidence. She could do heel in the pack and walk around the field with everybody. It was literally like a little miracle. I will never, ever forget Tinkerbell.
And that just shows you that patience is one of the biggest things that you can have when trying to train a dog, correct?
Yes, patience and listening to the dog. What is the dog telling you? If we had made that little dog come into class, we would have ruined her. We would have traumatized her. She would have never, ever opened up and probably would have gotten 1,000 times worse. So patience to work at their own speed and listening. What are they telling you? What do they need?
Well, Megan, you teach the dogs good behavior, but what have the dogs taught you?
Oh, I love this question. Ever since I was a little girl, I've always just had this innate knowledge. I want to say knowledge. I don't know another word to use. That dogs are teachers and healers. To me, they have a purity of spirit that teaches purely on a level that humans just cannot even get to once you learn to really look at them and listen to them. So they've taught me clarity and to be clear with intention on purpose, to listen, to be open, to be present, and such great respect for other creatures and for all of those that are different from us, responsibility, and to relax and to just be.
Megan, of course, you've got your own dogs. You had one dog that was very important, Super Smiley. Tell us a little bit about Smiley.
Oh, yes. Smiley was a rescue dog, and I don't even know where to start. He was very, very communicative. Let me just start there. He was a shelter mutt, and he had been thrown away 3 times on the streets of downtown Los Angeles. And I was blessed, literally blessed enough to find him and bring him home. And he would, for example, when he got in the car, it's like he said, my name is Smiley. And I just knew that that was his name. And then later on, he came up to me on the sofa. And I literally, it was like I was hearing this little song. I'm Smiley the dog. I am a mutt. I'm Smiley the dog. I'm Super Smiley. And the whole song literally downloaded into my brain. I recorded it immediately just so I would remember it. And this was when flash mobs were so popular. And I'm a dancer, and I thought this would be a really cool flash mob. And we ended up traveling around the entire United States to Georgia, North Carolina, Washington State, New York City, San Diego, Los Angeles, doing the Super Smiley flash mob for kindness. And Smiley, we created films, little film shorts about this. He won film festivals across the United States, won a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Awareness Film Festival. He became a movie actor in feature films, and his influence on seeing shelter pets as cool rock stars rather than these pathetic animals that we used to see on the television commercials. He literally started that. I was working with the Humane Society of the United States and other large organizations that wouldn't even use the word mutts because they thought it was downgraded and it was a negative thing. And in Smiley's song, we said, "Mutts rock, it's true." And people would shout that out. And Smiley literally changed the landscape of pet adoption and viewing animals as teachers and healers in the United States. I'm so proud to have just held his leash and let him lead the way.
And what dogs do you have now?
Now I have a German Shepherd girl. Oh my gosh, she is a character. Her name is Anandita. I got her just before Smiley passed away, and I named her Ananda. Is a Sanskrit mantra meaning gift, joy from heaven. And Dita is girl. So Smiley had passed away, so I wanted to give her a beautiful, uplifting name, Anandita, the girl who brings joy. But she was so wild when I first got her. I mean, my husband brought her to dog class to be one of the students in class, and she jumped and screamed and howled and barked and jumped so much and pulled so hard that his hand was cut and bleeding by the leash by the end of class. And I actually took her to my friend, who's a retired police chief, canine handler, and I said, "I think I've gotten the wrong dog. I need a demo dog." And my philosophy is once you adopt a dog, they are yours for life. But I'd had her just a week, and I thought, this is crazy wrong fit. I'm going to see if I can give her a job where she can thrive and help people. And mm-hmm. the police chief might want to, you know, use her as a bomb sniffing dog or search and rescue, whatever. He had the ability to do that. But he took her, and I learned so much from him. He's this very tall man. He was my sponsor last year, Green Lincoln. And he talked to her very quietly, very gently, and used his energy, completely his energy. And I emulated this, and I thought I can, and she was very, very calm and listened. So I took her to the busiest place I could think of in Greensboro, which is the Walmart parking lot at noon, using this technique. And we walked around, and she was good. And after that, I realized with her, she was more like the wolf. She is a wild girl. She needs super grounded, super calm, super connected communication. So every dog needs something different. And one more thing about Anandita, I joke that she's so wild. She's a German Shepherd mix, but she looks like a little Malinois, those war dogs that are just they're so focused and they're so hyper. They're like, they were on like a German Shepherd on steroids. And she also looks like a coyote, which is literally a wild creature. So I call her a Malinois. I say she's a mix between a Malinois and a coyote, which is not a good thing. Nobody go out looking for a Malinois, but that's what I have of Anandita.
But, you know, this is an example that even you, as a very experienced dog trainer, realized, you know, that this dog was maybe out of your limitations. You had limitations with her, and you had to seek some help somewhere else. But that means that anybody with a dog that you know, if it's not working for you by yourself, maybe seek some professional help, which would be going to join one of Megan's free classes. Do you have some final words that you'd like to share to encourage our listeners to come out and get their dogs into those training classes?
Yes. Well, first of all, what you said there, Charlie, was so astute, because we always learn from our dogs. The dogs show us what they need. And the secret is to just be clearer and clearer and clearer and really listen to them. And about the class, it is so much fun. It is so much fun. And no matter where you are with your dog, like we've been talking about, after just one class, you will be better and you will see a clear path for building your communication and your relationship even more. And as I also mentioned, it's really a seminar. It's not just a regular class. It's a full-on seminar where you can ask questions and we learn from each other. And the real masters, as I've said during this whole interview, is the dogs. The dogs teach us. We listen to them. We learn from them. And they teach us to speak dog. And how fun is that?
Every Sunday, you can join Megan and other dog lovers at Greensboro's LaBauer Park at 4:30 p.m. for free, fun dog training classes. Whether you have a new puppy or a full-grown dog that could use a little discipline, everyone is welcome to join Megan and learn how to speak dog. Megan Blake, pet lifestyle coach and certified dog trainer, thank you so much for joining me this morning and for everything that you do to help improve our relationships with our furry friends.
Thank you so much, Charlie. I had so much, so much fun, and I love you on Simon Radio. You are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to Triad Today on 98.7 Simon.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.